know, I will provide for myself a lamb. God's ways of talking to us, in my experience, always he comes when I least expect it, usually when I'm totally given up. And he provides for me. Do I comprehend it all the time? No. When Israel thought that they had been totally, completely forgotten of God and overwhelmed by Rome, God provided a lamb. When we think that there's nothing good left in life, and that happens at any age, and all the wonderful things that we had expected are kind of seen as a vision in front of us, and we don't have an answer. God will provide a lamb. Could you bow your head for a moment? You might consider saying this short prayer with me. The things that I can't change, the hurts that are troubling me, that I'd like to remove, but I can't. God will provide a lamb. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and it says, "And they overcame him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die." That's the Amplified. I was pressed to go to that word just before that song came. So you say, how can God use something that's recorded by someone else in another building and have it fit with what God wants to do with me and you today? This is a prophetic word from the Lord Jesus himself to John the Apostle. So I'd like you to kind of raise your right hand and just kind of declare with me. And I will overcome. And conquer everything negative that's happened to me by the means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of my testimony, because I'm choosing not to love and to cling to my life even when faced with spiritual death. Because sometimes things in me need to die. And I hold on to them for dear life. Because sometimes I've been convinced that my way of doing things doesn't take forever. At least I can get a solution for a little while. That's what the drug addict does. That's what the alcoholic does. That's what the discouraged person does when they try to use something to overcome rather than they becoming overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. They find a quick fix and use it. Now, of course, I've never done anything like that. And you haven't either, so that's certainly excluding all the church members, right? How many say wrong?
Wrong.
Wrong. Why is it that we cling to those things that give us physical comfort, mental comfort? Because they work. But they only work to destroy us. This morning I looked at this little bread, and my sister brought us these incredible little tiny breads. Could you educate us a little bit?
It's called sweet olive torta.
Sweet olive tortas. How many know what an olive oil gets constructed? How many know we just got moved? What an olive has to go through in order to produce oil? Anybody can tell me? Has to be what? Crushed. How many like to get squished until all the juices are out of you? How many have felt this before sometimes? When God is working on me and He's trying to get me to see myself, and I don't want to see me because I want to run the other way to find the quick fix, He lets the pressure come upon me. A little while ago, one of our sisters had a vision of an olive press in Capernaum, the Lord's hometown, where He lived for 3.5 years and did His ministry. And they talked about, our tour guide showed us to us, and how many times the olive can be pressed. The first squeezing, of course, is the virgin oil. The second squeezing isn't quite as good. And the last one is because there's particles of the oil that contain little bits of the flesh of the olive itself. Why is God allowing us to be squeezed? So that the best will be visible to us. So when we come to this table today, I'll remind you that God has provided a lamb who poured out His blood just like I'm pouring it into this cup. He was poured out that we might come to life. Did I always understand it? No. Do I understand it now better than I used to? Talking to a friend of mine the other day, reminding him that the Lord said, until I be lifted up on a tree, like the snake that was lifted up by Moses, All men will be drawn. All men will be drawn. My prayer for you is that God today will give you a hunger to overcome the squeezing by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. There's a word in Revelation chapter 11 that I'd like to share with you. Now, again, this is the word of the Lord to the saints, to the church. And there's progression in this revelation of how God works with us and in us. And in verse 15, he says, "The seventh angel then blew his trumpet, and there were mighty voices in heaven shouting." Now, I'm using the Amplified, but I will be switching back to the NIV in a few moments. Mighty voices in heaven shouting. The dominion, kingdom, sovereignty, and rule of the world has now come into the possessions and become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his anointed, that's his Christ, the Messiah. Messiah is really the job of redemption, correct? And he shall reign forever and ever for the eternities of eternities. And there's several confirmations in the word. So the kingdom that he came to release in us is progressive. The kingdom that rules us now, how many know, is a mixture. We have some worldly things that push us around. We have emotional things that push our buttons. We have circumstances in the world that influence us and sometimes pressure us. And we go back to what we know and where we've been accepted, because that's comfortable. Now, when you first got born again and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, what you were doing is you were switching the kingdom from the natural to the spiritual. Nicodemus wanted to know more about who Jesus really was, knowing that he couldn't be anything but a major prophet because of the signs and wonders that were coming forth out of him. But we know that the Spirit of the Father was inside the Son. Yes? Amen. And the Spirit of the Son was inside the Father. They were unified. They were one. And the Holy Spirit was actually operating in both of them, coordinating everything in the earth, transforming him from what he was, which was a natural man, to a spiritual man. Is he not the pattern son? How many can say amen? He's the pattern son. Well, if he's the pattern son, then that should give us a clue of what we're going to look like when he gets done with us. I can remember having a discussion with the Lord about eternity. When does eternity start? He says, it's already started. It's already started. Eternity started with Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end of eternity. And it has no end. So when did I become spiritual? When I entered this body? No. I had pre-existence with him. You mean I had reality before I entered this realm? Yes, you did. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I declared you a prophet then. So how could you be a prophet, Jeremiah, before you entered your mother's womb? Because it's a spiritual reality. We think everything starts with birth. It doesn't start with birth. It started way before your birth. What am I after this morning? I'm trying to show you the kingdom of God is so much deeper and bigger, and it's actually resident within you. It's a kingdom of righteousness. Yes? A kingdom of love. Unconditional love. It's a kingdom of peace. And the only way you're going to attain it is by the words of your mouth, by the blood of the Lamb, and not fearing the old you to die. The old me to die. Does that mean that I have to get a coffin and put me in it? No. That's just meaning that I won't let the old ways of the world rule and reign in me like they used to. Will I find it comfortable? No. Who said no? No, it's not going to be comfortable. Is it going to be familiar? No, it's going to be opposite. It's going to be strange. Is it going to be something that you find, let's say, dramatic? Yes, because sometimes you will see the hand of the Lord, the word of the Lord, bring you to life in the midst of the most difficult spaces. How many know that your life can sometimes really feel like that olive that got squished the first time, and then the second time, and then all of a sudden there's pieces of your flesh that you know are falling off? Yeah. That's why the third time you get squeezed on the same subject, you think, well, God, I thought I did this already. Did you ever run into that problem with God? I thought I dealt with this already. And then all of a sudden, there's a wonderful blossom that comes out of a tree to guarantee you that you're on the right path. That you really weren't crazy. That even a tree can conform you to keep on going. Those are the little miracles that make life worthwhile with God. They are. A sign along the highway. Automatically, all of a sudden, it doesn't say what it says, but it says something totally different, and you know that it was God. It's not your glasses, it's not your eyes, it's God that's changing the sign, so you'll know this is where you belong. Even after you know it, do you do it without any kind of war? No, you have to war your way through it, and you have to say, God, you showed it to me, now I'm going to walk in it. In spite of what I feel. Because my emotions won't match. Will they? The kingdom is a kingdom of humility. Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 10 confirms it. The kingdom is a kingdom of sympathetic service. Where is that from? Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those who are on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, not since you entered your mother's womb. Woo-hoo, wake up. Since the creation of? Ah, so how many billions of years are we supposed to be, according to the scientists? They have no clue. They're guessing. But we know it had a beginning. And so did you. But it wasn't when you entered Mama. It wasn't when a seed was dropped into Mama. It was with the Lord. And those that are of Him are drawn by Him and will eventually reach Him, because what was will be restored. And you wonder why that all hell breaks loose when you try to do something that you think is so great and all of a sudden crash. Something happens. Well, you're getting squeezed again. And God's trying to put you back on the track. And you think it's Him mad at you. How many of you ever thought God was mad at you? Man, He's got such a huge stick, I don't even know if I can approach Him. And I'm definitely not going where He is, because after all, I don't like His correction. But it's because of His love that He allows us the hardships so that we can grow up and mature. How many know maturity costs you everything? Yeah. And yet we ask Him, I want to grow up. I want to be, I want to be. Man, I can remember I want to be. Man, I had a list of I want to be's. But one of them wasn't humility. And one of them wasn't sympathetic service. I had a few ideas of my own. Matthew 25, verse 35, gives you also another level of sympathetic service. The words of the Lord, I was hungry. And you gave me something to eat. Oh. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Luke 6:20. Lynn, are you hearing? You're hearing. You are a product of this word. And you don't even see it. But I'm letting you know up front. Sympathetic service is part of your lifestyle. I've seen it. Come on, girl. Thank you. It's about time. Perseverance is another aspect of the kingdom that's going to be walking through you and actually overtake you. Perseverance is something that is of God, and it will produce mighty things through you, but it's not something that you wait for forever. You've already got it. Luke 9:62, Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So, I want to look back and I want to go back in the comfort zone. Lord, take me back, please, please, please. And He says, no. Let the squeezing go forward. And the pressure gets a little heavier. And you get a little stronger. Amen? Is it enjoyable as it's progressing? Is it enjoyable once you see the maturity form through it? Ah. Then you realize that you really weren't stubborn. How many have ever been accused of being stubborn? Keep your hand up. Say, as of today, this stubbornness that I was can be transformed into perseverance. So, Holy Ghost, flip it over. Hallelujah. I have a piece of the kingdom in me. What was perverted is now become a gift. When I used to be stubborn, now I can persevere. Hallelujah, the kingdom is alive. Hallelujah. Right inside of me.
Right inside.
And I've got a gift from God. I will persevere. I will turn against all the darkness. And keep on going. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Endurance is another aspect of the kingdom. Acts 14:22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We must go through many hardships. That's not a very popular gospel, is it? Is it? Can I do it when I'm all alone?
No.
Can I do it with him? St. Paul says, I've been flogged, I've been whipped, I've been left for dead, I've been imprisoned. Jesus says, I was rejected. They want to throw me over the cliff. They want to excommunicate me. They want to crucify me. Oh, and you want to be a Christian. I want to be a rich Christian. You laugh. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a rich Christian. We need rich Christians. Okay? We need them, but not when they're in love with themselves. To the point that they are so in love with themselves that they advertise everything but Christ. It's called fine-tuning. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health and in wealth in every level. But there's also going to be some squeezing. And it's okay. There's going to be hardships because you will enter the kingdom through hardships. But I guarantee you one thing. You're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of your testimony, and the kingdoms of this world will become the transformed kingdoms of our God. And it starts inside of me. It starts with me. This week, I had one morning that, well, the beginning of it was a little difficult. And kept saying to the Lord, you know, release to me the divine appointments that I need to connect with. Divine appointments. How many know divine appointments happen every day if you want them to? Anointed moments of the Lord. So as part of what I needed to do that day, I went to the health club. I was doing what God was pressing me to do, and I'm walking around the circle, praying in the Spirit, saying, okay, Lord, connect me where you want to connect me. Do what you need to do with me, because I want to obey. So I'm walking around reasonably fast, and there's this one person that I keep seeing, and this person is very sweaty, and he's got a sweatsuit on, and blah, 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 and trucking away on a machine. And I'm praying in the Spirit, and every time I go around the circle, I'm automatically drawn to this person. I have never seen this person before. I have no idea who he is. And kept praying. Not understanding. Go around the circle several more times, and all of a sudden I did what the press was to do, and finally I went up and changed clothes and went into the steam room. And I'm sitting in the steam room, and this same young man walks in. I again says to me, is it okay if I uh, put some water in here because we hadn't had any steam. We all had hot air. And so anyway, he went out and came back with his little container of water, and the steam started to form, and we began to talk. And come to find out, we had quite a conversation. And I knew that it was a divine appointment, because he starts talking about, he studies the Word every morning. He is from this area, had been away for a long time, and getting married a year from now, and we chit-chatted, and the words of my testimony became an intrigue for him, as I'm telling him some of the hardships that I've been through, and how God has taken me from here to there, and there to there, etc., etc. And to make a long story short, I pray you'll meet him one day. But the bottom line is, we ended up praying in the steam room. Now, you can't see what you're doing, but God was present in the steam room that day. So now it's overwhelming, and we got to walk out a little while to recover. And he says to me, "Are you going back after?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so." I says, "I think we can do a little more." And we went back in, and we ended up praying again. What am I saying to you? Then I realized that he's got his locker right across from me. And I hear the Lord say, "Give him a card. Connect." What does God do when he wants you connected to the body of Christ? How will he do it? Any way he wants. That's simple reality. Anything that he wants to do, he will do. What was I doing? I didn't realize how much I had blessed him, because now I'm finishing up combing my hair, and he comes over and he says, "Thank you for the gift that you brought to me today. I was in need, and you gave me some answers. A few weeks from now, you girls are going to be back in school. So will the boys. I can tell you this. You don't know who you're going to touch. You don't know which life is going to be changed because of you. You have no clue about you being somewhere where you will be feeding them a little piece of wisdom. It doesn't matter where you're at on the job. Wherever you happen to be, seek the Lord for divine appointments. He'll be there for you."
If you want to call it divine appointment, this morning when I woke up, I had Juliet Blanchard on my mind.
Good.
And I started to intercede for her and pray for her. And I was wondering if you know anything about her condition.
I would suggest you call her. I'll give you the number. If you want a few more scriptures about the kingdom, I'd like to give you 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Last but not least, Revelations 11, verse 17. "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." That was written 2,000 years ago. Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, I want you to reign in me. I want you to rule through my inner man. I want you to overwhelm my spirit, man. with your truth, your great power, your mercy, your grace, your sovereignty, so that I can truly become a walking epistle, a letter written by God out of my life, so that others will see that they can live in peace, in joy, and in great righteousness before God and before man. I thank you that you have provided for me a lamb. And now the provision of the words that come forth out of my heart, I will give out life to those who seek it. I will give out encouragement to those who need it. I will provide a warm room for those who have a need until they become like you, Lord, not become like me. For the kingdoms of our God already are established in you and I. We need to give it out. Amen. And amen. Would you bow your heads one more time? Father, I trust that you would just make them living epistles, living in front of those that don't know you. And let those that are nosy about why they're so different question them. And then give them the grace to pray for one another, that all these may be healed. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Share some hugs with each other.